I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. This podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined by two very special guests today. In studio, we have Mr. Lance Laster. What's up, Lance?
What's up, everybody?
And from the West Coast, we have Mr. Matt Truex from Lois and Clark, the new podcast of Superman. Or Adventures of what? Yeah, is that right?
New podcast of Superman. Don't second guess yourself. You're good, man. Hi, guys.
I was right. Damn. Good to have you guys on. This is there's such a high demand to be on this podcast. Sometimes we have to double up. So
we appreciate
there's
it.
There's three of us.
It's and all good.
It's a different kind of, this will be fun. This will be, you know, we've done a couple of these with three people before. Kind of, it'll be a little more lively, I think. A little more, we'll find out.
We will.
And we'll see how successful these three is. If it's not, we'll just cut it back to two moving forward. But it's all up to you guys, so don't screw it up.
Try not to.
So where we last left our heroes, we were listening to Johnny Cash's Hurt, and Lex Luthor was rotting away in a Belle Reve, guys?
Belle Reve in my head.
It's Belle Reve in my head, but it's spelt Rev.
Yeah, I know.
And they say Belle Reve on Smallville.
I think they do.
But then, like, Suicide Squad, which is a terrible movie, by the way, we'll never be covering on this podcast.
Shouldn't be brought up.
Superman
yeah,
is not. So, what do you mean? What is the Suicide Squad you speak of?
Yeah.
I think they call it Reeve or Rev. I've heard it's like Ra's al Ghul and Ra's al Ghul. I've heard it pronounced many different ways.
It's pronounced Ra's, everybody. Ra's.
Thank you.
I agree. So that was the mid-season finale, because that started to finally be a thing. This is like Smallville, again, cutting-edge television, people.
Yep.
Like,
started it all.
There wasn't a mid-season finale before. Like, I mean, I'm not saying Smallville started it, but I'm saying in this era of television, like, shows were slowly starting to do this. Like, they were saying, like, oh, there's the first half and the second half, and now you see commercials like, on the mid-season finale of Arrow. I'm like, what are you talking about? Mid-season finale? Yep. It's 9 episodes.
Uh-huh.
But,
I remember shows like, the whole this time.
See, three people. This is what's going to happen the whole time. Matt, go ahead.
Okay. I remember shows from this time starting that, but just a few of them would do what Smallville was doing, where they would do like a finale and build up to it and kind of like, you know, structure the season for it. And most other shows would just go dark for a while and then come back a couple weeks later. But you're right. Like, this was the early days of doing that, of that that mid-season break. And they're smart to take advantage of it narratively, like they were.
Yeah, Smallville is the true pioneer for all these things. You know, it's just like when you look back, it's just like, oh, well, like all these shows really owe Smallville a debt of gratitude for most of the stuff that they do.
Yeah, I mean, I think every episode of all these new shows are like, oh, they did that on Smallville.
Yeah.
Especially Supergirl.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the Red Kryptonite episode. Here's the Bizarro episode. Oh, wow. Lillian is Lionel and Lena is Lex and Kara is Clark. I get it. Yeah, I mean...
Right.
Well, in Smallville, Season 3, The Official Book Companion by Paul Simpson, available wherever books are sold. Creator Al Gaw, and this is Sam. There's so much going on in this episode. We've got the second half of the, quote, getting Lex out of the asylum, quote, story. And we answer the question, quote, where do the crypto freaks go when they leave Smallville? And this is where they go. Belle Reve, or Belle Reve. It's a hospital in Superman lore, which we've made into our hospital. So, it's kind of like the Arkham Asylum for Superman, right, guys?
Yeah, 100%.
Now, we see three returning guest stars in this episode, or previous Freaks of the Week, as they mentioned. I did appreciate there was one from each season. We have Eric Summers from Leech, and played by Sean Ashmore. Now, he's in, this is Iceman-era Sean Ashmore. Oh, he's made it big on the X-Men movies now.
Yep.
I guess he had, actually, X-Men was 2000, so he'd already been Iceman.
Yeah.
What's he doing on his WB show? I have to get a better agent.
Hey, keep getting them checks.
Yeah.
So this would have been between X2 and 3?
Yeah, X. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it would.
Right? Okay. Oh, so things are still good in the
X-Men
world.
Things are still as well.
Yeah, there's lots of excitement. Like, you know, like there's, there's anticipation.
Off this trilogy.
They're going to do the Phoenix next?
Exactly. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, Cyclops is going to be back. Oh, man.
What a time to be alive, guys.
Yep.
Then we get Jonathan Taylor Thomas, JTT. Ian Randall from Season 2's Dichotic. I will say this. I think he's a lot better in this episode than he is in his previous episode.
I thought he was good. He was kind of the ringleader of the freaks, which was interesting.
Yeah, he just, I don't, maybe he was more comfortable now, but I just, and that was just a bad episode, Dichotic, in Season 2. So he kind of redeemed himself here. And then we get Jesse Metcalf as Van McNulty, who was just on a few episodes ago, who was, they call him a, what do they call him, a Ku Klux Van?
Ku Klux Van. I appreciated that. I was like, that's good.
Okay, see, you know, he's a hate, you know, he hated meteor freaks for killing his father, and he went on a killing spree about that. So,
what a concept, like acknowledging that that organization is bad. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Back when that wasn't controversial to say. How about that?
What a time to be alive, the Bush administration. I miss it. These are the three guys we bring back. Were there any other, like at the time, right? Think back to watching Smallville at the time. Were there any other ones you might have been like, oh, I wanted to see that guy back?
I really liked the B-girl.
That's one of the worst. How dare you?
What? I know, but she's Queen Bee from the comics, right?
Well, that was her... like in the Ish. Chris Nolan sense. Like, Mr. Reese, that guy was the Riddler, you get it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, good point. But I'll never forget as a kid watching that. The bees form that the head face. In there, and just being
they
like,
"They did that episode on Arrow.
They did."
We were just talking,
it was Arrow season 4.
It was season 3 or 4. It was one with Felicity's mom.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And they did the same thing where they made the bee face, but they were robotic bees.
Yeah.
So like, it all started with Smallville. I'll start here.
Weirdly, that makes more sense.
It does. Uh-huh. actually, they bring her back, different actress, same character in the Dean Cain episode. Season 7's Cure, which you'll be back on.
That's right, yeah.
So in 2025, when I get to that episode. Guys, I'm living life here, okay? You know, so just...
No, it's good. The Oprah administration will be thriving by then.
You know, The Rock, his 2 terms will be over.
Right, yeah, I forgot about...
So...
Johnson Winfrey.
So I really wanted to see Greg Arkin back, Bug Boy. From Metamorphosis.
Me too.
Because he turned to a pile of bugs at the end, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
He does come back in Homecoming, one of the best episodes of the show, 200th episode. So that's when I kind of zeroed in on, because him and Clark actually had a friendship before, so I thought that was a little more interesting than like, oh, hello, I'm Clark. Oh, you're a bad guy. We're going to fight now, et cetera.
I'd forgotten they had a friendship. That's a good point.
Yeah.
And Eric Summers is a good one. Like, Leech is a great episode, and I really enjoyed his whole story in that episode. He was very sympathetic, Freak of the Week. And Van worked because he had the connection. So everybody worked together well, and there was 2 Jonathan Taylor Thomases, so they could, like, overpower Van because he's, like, working out and all that, you know. So need a spot, bro, or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of sweaty, shirtless guys in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting.
It's for the female audience of the WB, right?
Yeah, hey, very much.
You know, we get, you know, Lois and Lana in bikinis. You know, we get these people working out. You know,
true.
You got to give the people what they want.
But, yeah, there weren't really... Freak of the Weeks either died or... They were good, and they, like, went on their way.
Yes.
So there really weren't that many left. Like, the handshake guys from Hug. I like those guys, or the one that survived. but not, like, they have to be a villain to come back.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they brought Brian back already in season 2. They brought Tina Greer back.
Tina Greer,
She was a great one.
Tina Greer.
And,
do you wind up in Bellerive if you have kryptonite tattoos, or is that just kind of a regular prison situation?
You see, that's a good question.
Hmm.
First of all, those guys are terrible. I don't want to see them again.
I know, but it'd be funny to see them try.
Well, it's kind of like the Penguin in Batman, right? It's like sometimes he's in Iron Heights, sometimes
he's not.
Arkham. It's like depending on who drew that episode of Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
It's like, who are these villains?
Right,
the Penguin,
right.
Yeah, draw him in there. That's true, because some of these people aren't crazy. Like, Van's not crazy. He's just...
racist.
Yeah. There's a difference. There's evil and there's crazy.
Yeah. Well...
Yeah, okay, fair point.
Yeah.
But this was a fine selection. I would not have picked Jonathan Taylor Thomas, but like I said, he did a pretty good job. So those are your returning characters. So this is a big episode because you're getting, it's kind of the show finally paying off in its own continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, oh, I'll bring all these guys back. And
well, it kind of establishes like it's, Clark has like a Rhodes gallery, you know, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, that's true. Especially with the fact that we don't have those other established Superman villains running around yet, besides
Lex,
really. So it's cool to see them put their high school robes.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, because Superman, like his big villains, because this is not like Gotham where you're gonna have Darkseid showing up while he's in high school or something like that. So you know, it's cool that there's this.
Yeah, Smallville waited for season 10 for Darkseid, just for the record.
Yeah.
Well, do you watch Gotham, Matt?
I don't. No.
Good.
My friend tries to get me into it all the time, but
no, we don't watch Gotham here either. This is a Gotham free zone. I know some of our listeners love it, but
Gotham's garbage.
Gotham? No, I love Batman too much to watch Gotham. Is the thing.
Yeah.
Gotham is what all the haters think Smallville is. That's my stance on it.
Yep. 100% correct.
Oh man, but it's finally gonna be over.
Thank God.
Bruce Wayne's gonna be what? 17?
16, I think.
16. Well, I don't know, how old was he in the pilot? Like 11, 12.
Whatever.
Anyway, I watched the first half of the first season. I gave up. And then I think the Joker episodes with Broke You, Lance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't anymore. I just can't.
Oh, man.
I got through the first, kind of couple episode arc battle with the Falcones.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Falcone. Matt, you're the best. Because, you pronounce it Falcone, not Falcone.
Not Falcone.
My God.
Falcone's at the beginning.
But yeah, at the end of that, I think it was called the Penguin's Umbrella or something. It was one of those episodes which is like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
And after that, I just jumped ship.
Yeah. So, what were you talking about? See, three people.
Asylum.
Asylum. you know what? I think there's one more quote from Michael Rosenbaum here from the companion that I did want to share. It was a fun episode for the audience because we brought back a lot of characters, as we were discussing, but it had a lot of character stuff because we had to get one of our main characters out of trouble. That dealt with fun and friendship. Clark really wanted to help his friend, but at the same time, what would have happened if Lex hadn't had the shock? He would have remembered that Clark was hit with a car and shattered. The whole thing with the therapy was interesting because the audience didn't know whether it would work and how much he would remember. And I think that's a great point. There is a lot of the feels, hashtag the feels in this episode. Thinking back to when I first watched it, there were some moments I'll bring it up later, but it's like, oh no, Lex, Clark.
Yep.
So they had some great friendship moments here. And that's the heart of the show. So some great moments here, and let's talk about it. Asylum.
Lex?
Clark, I was wondering if I'd ever see you again.
I've been trying to visit you for the last month. The doctor said you weren't ready to see anyone. Are you okay?
I know your secret. Don't worry. I haven't said a word to anyone. I need you to get me out of here. I've seen what you can do. A car hits you at 60 miles an hour, and then you tossed it like a toy. Breaking me out's not going to be too much of a challenge.
Lex, I want to.
Then do it, Clark. My father's never going to let me out. You're my friend. Please, Clark. Don't let me rot in this cesspool. I'm sorry.
Asylum is the ninth episode of Smallville's third season. It aired on January 14th, 2004. It was written by Todd Slavkin and Darren Swimmer and directed by Greg Beeman. And the episode starts out, Rebel Reeve or Rev or whatever. And Lex is in line to get his meds. Of course, they're red, yellow, and blue because it's a Superman show.
Yep.
And
the orderlies are being rude.
Have you been in a hospital? I mean, that's how they are, man.
It's like, dang.
Everyone's got a mean nickname for Lex, too. And it's all different.
Yeah, the one's like Curly.
Well, this one was Rich Boy.
Yeah. Rich Boy's a little less mean than Curly.
Yeah.
But Lex goes to do some therapeutic painting. Well, he quote-unquote takes his pills, right? But Lex Luthor is the greatest criminal mind of our time, so he's got a plan. He's going to use red, yellow, and blue paint to paint his painting and spits them all out. And I thought it was a really cool little moment there.
That was nice.
Love that, just that little cough he gives.
It's very good.
And he starts to paint with his left hand, which establishes that he is evil, because as we know, all left-handed people are evil.
Wait, sorry. What? All of us?
Are you left-handed?
Yeah.
Well, case in point.
There you go.
Okay. So glad I came on the podcast for you today.
No, it's just you don't see... It's interesting. I guess I assume Michael Rosenbaum is evil. I'm sorry. Is evil. Is left-handed.
I see him at the meetings. Yeah, that makes sense.
Gonna have to take his bump off the podcast. I assume he's actually left-handed. I wasn't paying attention when I met him. Because you don't default to that. Like, you don't default to left-handed because it's a right-handed world, right? I mean, I'm sorry. You're a left-handed guy living in a right-handed world, Matt. The struggle is real, right?
Hey.
You're not quite right.
I understand.
How can you see what you write, though? Like, you get stuff off your hand all the time, right?
Oh, you can't. No, I always, because I always draw, too, so I always just have this, like, gray blob on the side of my hand, basically, from being dragging it across everything.
Right. Well, yeah, you are not. Hey, Matt does some great art. You guys should check him out on Instagram. We'll plug it later, but he does some great
yeah,
art.
So I'll get lead poisoning quicker than everybody. That'd be great.
What did you think of Lex's painting here?
I liked it. I was impressed by it. I was trying to figure out if there was meaning in it. It looked like a planet was exploding, and, you know, it's kind of obvious something there.
To me, it looked like Hot Streak from Static Shock. It looked like that character.
Totally.
Like, with the hair on fire and everything.
With the fire head.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Well, I thought it was, like, the meteor shower. That's what I took it to be. Like, his hair getting burned off, you know. I took the Occam Razor's approach to this, guys.
Yeah.
So.
Not bad. Not bad. That, or, like, is there any... I was trying to tie it into a President Lex vision, but I couldn't.
Is that because of Heroes? Because they paint the presidents?
Just
because
I wanted... No, I never watched Heroes.
You never watched Heroes?
Like, yeah. No, I'm failing you guys.
My nerd credit. Man, I had such high... I hold you in such high regard, and it's dropping quick.
Matt, it's okay. Know, like, in 2036, when Zach starts Always Hold On To Heroes, you'll get caught up.
Yeah, you can be like a fresh watcher. I joke about it a lot. I really... Like, if I do another podcast after this, God forbid... it would be Heroes, because I just have such strong opinions about it, and no one talks about it for good reason. But yeah, right. I have opinions I want to share.
Welcome to Lois and Clark, man.
So, we get a shot of, I'm going to call it Chekhov's camera here. Chekhov's security camera, because we'll come back to that at the end. They're establishing it exists, and we don't know why yet, but we'll see it later.
Yep.
But Lex, you know, he's painting away, and then meanwhile, Clark comes in, and he goes by this rogues gallery, as we discussed. We see... Ian, we see Eric, we see Van.
Ben comes at him.
He's like, yeah. It's a pretty relaxed asylum. People just walking around, you know, attacking guests. I like how the orderly's like, hey, kid, you know a lot of people in here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, brothers always know.
I like Clark's reaction, too, going through. He looked as scared as I would have been walking through that.
Well, he should be, because these people know his secret. And apparently, like, nobody cares. Like, Van shot him with bullets, and he's like, well, he's... And Lana thought, like, a little tin shield is bulletproof for some reason, so I guess he's out on that. He saw Clark catch a bullet. Like, he knows Clark's powers. Ian, I don't think he really knows Clark's, but he saw him jump after the girls on the bridge, but so he might know something. But then Eric obviously
knows his
powers. But it's like with Tina Greer or any of these people, right? It's like, hey, Clark Kent just threw me into this tombstone. Like, you know, like, he puts a lot of stock in the world assuming these people are crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they didn't get amnesia. Them. They didn't get, you know, knocked out. Like, they just, they're, take him away, officer. Like, okay, hey, Clark Kent is an alien. Like, nobody, okay, well, sure, you're crazy.
They're like, no, like, whatever. No, he's not.
Yeah.
This is one of the crazy episodes, too, where we all were functioning the whole time knowing that Lex knows the secret.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, knows enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what he does with it, right? Because people always say, oh, if Lex knew Clark's secret, he would have turned evil anyway. I don't know. This episode really shows his friendship, I think. Because, like, he knows the secret. Like, Clark comes to see him. He's like, Clark, I never thought I'd see you again. He's like, I know your secret. And, you know, Rosenbaum, he's still playing off the whole crazy Rosenbaum from last episode, so he's really good. He's like, don't worry, I haven't told anyone. He does, like, a goofy, like, expression. And, but he wants Clark to break him out of jail, as you would, right?
Of course.
Right.
Of course, 100%. And in this case, like, you get to see that he's, like, it's not exactly evil intentions that he has. Like, I don't think that he did. I think later seasons, if it would have happened, then yeah. But here, season 3, I think he would have still had Clark's best interests at heart.
I agree. This is just a friend asking for help at this point.
Like, Lance, if I was in jail and I knew you had superpowers, I'd be like, bro, come on. Like, let's go here. You gotta break me out. And again, and then we see flashes throughout Smallville, right? We see little flashes of future, like crazy angry Lex Luthor. And Clark basically says, oh, you know, I can't, you know. And then he just, Lex just like freaks out at him, you know. He's like, I'll kill him. I'll never forgive you for this, Clark. Ah! And you can see like future Lex getting mad. And Rosamund, he does a lot of just yelling in this episode. He knows this?
Yes.
He's like, ah! Like he's not even saying anything.
Yeah, just screaming.
It was a tough couple of weeks in Canada for him this year because I feel like the last episode was a lot of yelling and then either yelling or just down to the whisper.
Yeah.
Just
Tour de force from Rosenbaum these last episodes.
But he's the man, though. Like, he pulls this all off. It's very impressive.
Totally.
Well, and then, oh, we do get the glance over to the Chekhov security camera during all this, too, so we'll come back to that later. But,
Oh, yeah, Clark totally, like, just, like, stares at him.
He's like, oh, Clark is such an idiot. Right. He's like, like,
about that Chekhov camera, though, thankfully it only had one bullet in it, ultimately, but we should get back to that, I guess.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So Clark is not going to break Lex out, so Lex decides to pull a Sarah Connor, break himself out. Mm-hmm. I did get some Terminator 2 vibes from this. I'm sure you guys
I
do
have
too.
Sarah Connor written right here. It's
awesome.
And man, TV shows make it look really easy to break out of mental institutions, don't you think, guys?
They do.
Smallville made it look easy to do a lot of things. Hacking is a big one.
Oh, yeah. All these TV shows, these superhero shows, it's apparently super easy to be a hacker.
I'm on the mainframe.
Need one friend. Right. It's all on the mainframe.
Yep.
But, you know, Greg Beeman directed this episode, as I mentioned, and he's one of Smallville's best directors. And I love how he shot all this because it kind of plays in that paranoia for Lex. He's like, shooting at these up angles. He's, like, spinning around all confused and all that because, you know, it's very effective to kind of get you in that mindset that Lex has right now. And he actually gets pretty far. He gets outside.
He does.
Starts climbing a fence. And they break out the taser, and he's done.
Well, you know what? Give credit where credit's due. They actually used the taser.
The richest guy.
He's a rich white guy. What do you expect?
Use a taser. So. I like the music at the start of this episode, too, is really cool. I don't even know what the genre or anything of it was, but it's very electric and do you guys remember what I'm talking about? It's funky,
I remember liking the music at the beginning. I couldn't remember who it was. I know about the music at the end, though. Yeah. I got excited.
Yes.
So far away. Does not apply to that situation at all, but we'll get there. Future Proof by Massive Attack.
Johnny Cash.
It had that kind of like techno, like, I agree with you guys. It fit what they were going for. But man, was this not a long teaser? Like, I was like, when are they going to get to Somebody Save Me? I was just waiting for it.
Yeah.
6.5 minutes. This is teaser. This has got to be like one of the longest ones in Smallville history.
Good for them, though. You don't, like, I don't get bored with this teaser. It's awesome.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. But I was just thinking, like, man, they haven't cut the credits. It's like on the WB show, WB, listen to me, living in the past, on the CW shows now. They go so long, like Supergirl. I swear their teaser's like 15 minutes. I'm like, have we seen the title yet? Mm-hmm. But anyway. Because sometimes Smallville's like 2 minutes. Like, nothing will happen. Like, a dead body. Like, somebody's in here. But this time, they told a lot of story in their teaser here. So we go to the main credits. We come back. We get Clark talking to the Kents. And, you know, Jonathan, he's usually very cautious. Right?
Oh, of course.
But he makes complete sincere. Like, I'm totally in his corner in the situation. When Clark's like, I don't know if I should break him out. And he's like, listen, Clark, you break him out. You're a fugitive. Lex is a fugitive. Yep. Like, think this through, son. Yeah. And then he knows your secret.
Yeah, he makes a good point, especially at the end, but we'll get there. But he's 100% correct in this.
True. There's a nice... It's weird, too, because like I always complain about Man of Steel Jonathan, because he's always just like telling Clark not to do stuff. But like this is coming from concern and a smart thing. And like, of course, it would have ruined his life if he had broken Lex out of this thing.
100%.
So Clark kind of moseys off. He mopes off. He's not happy about it. I mean... He says, oh, Pete knows my secrets. Like, Pete is different. Pete is different. This is Lex Luthor we're talking about. But Martha just kind of sees, like, oh, Clark's upset. Let me go mother him up. And then Martha, the biggest Klonna shipper of them all, this whole episode. She's like, hey, I know someone else who's in a hospital you haven't gone and seen. I'm like, oh, God. What do you guys think about Martha just shipping this relentlessly?
First of all, he has too many friends in the hospital right now. Yeah. It's getting ridiculous.
I thought it was funny. I mean, Martha makes me laugh on this show for a lot of different reasons, and this is one of them. Like, because my mom is not like this, thank God. So it's just funny seeing like somebody's mom, like, shipping him with some other person, and then, like, going to a lot of great lengths to try and, like, do stuff to, like, make them get together. It's just like, you're overstepping your bounds here, mom.
When she showed up at the hospital, I was offended.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you get that secondhand embarrassment, right? Like,
yes.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm a big, like, first of all, Clark should have gone to the hospital at some point, but yes. Also, he definitely should have gone before his mother.
His mom, yes. Come on, man.
That was tough.
Oh, man.
She's got a great line here, though, of just like, you can save the whole world, but you have to take care of your own heart, son. You know, like, I know, right?
That's such a great Martha thing to say. I'm like, oh, that is good. I'm like, it's such a worse to live by from small.
Yeah.
So speaking of Lana, the hospital,
we
get to her and she's having physical therapy. By the way, we're at plus +2 now for hospital visits because Belle Rev, Reeve, whatever. I'm going to say it that exact way though, every time I say it, I guess. Belle, okay. Rev, Reeve, whatever. That was +1 for Lex, the mental hospital. +2 now because Lana's at Smallville Medical Center doing physical therapy. And whatever. Okay, she's doing, I don't care about any of that. All right. Adam Knight, ladies and gentlemen.
Arkham Adam Knight.
Ian Somerhalder himself. You guys remember back in the day when he was on the show, there was so much buzz that he was Bruce Wayne.
Yep.
He was going to be like they're going to sneak Batman in his show. Mm-hmm. And what did you guys think about this? Lance, go ahead.
Like when it first happened? When it first happened, I was like, who is this loser dude trying to talk to Lana? And then, like, you watch the show and you're just like, oh, it's totally Batman. And then you see, like, you catch all the hints that they drop, like, you know,
like his number 27 shirt.
Oh yeah, like that's the most obvious one in this episode. But like, you know, having dead parents and mm-hmm. the push past the pain. It's just like stuff like that. Like you just kind of hear it in his speech, and like him being really talented and knowing all this different stuff. It's very obvious red flags.
Yeah, because he was like a faster musician. He knew kung fu. He's computer. Yeah. I'm like,
it's right. He's a musician too.
Yeah, he was playing rock too.
Yeah,
like Rock, like, come on now.
What did you think of him, Matt?
I didn't catch any of that as a kid. I wouldn't have gotten the 27 reference or anything.
Well, I was
like
plugged
into
the Krypton site boards. Krypton site still exists. Our friend Craig Byrne.
That,
and there was a lot of buzz there about it. And that's what I think. Had I just watched in a vacuum, I would have been the same as you.
That the Krypton site. It's Craig's fault basically, but basically. Krypton site. Taught me that's what was going on, and then I watched for the next. He had already been on a couple when I learned it, but like his last three or four episodes, I was just watching, just like waiting.
Waiting for Alfred to come pick him up, right?
Basically,
that or just like even just like a little hint of the music or something that would like solidify it, and then I could relax and know.
What Matt? What music would you have wanted to hear?
Oh, Elfman, right. For sure.
Well, we do get Elfman in one episode. I believe it Arrow? Mm-hmm. I think it's that one. I swear to God.
Oh, I was thinking of a different music cue. Interesting. Yeah.
No, it is in season 6, episode 4, I think. Yeah. Okay, Arrow. It's the end of the teaser where Oliver Queen like steals the necklace back from Martha and he goes up the elevator shaft, and I swear it's like, da 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 da.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
I was like, Elfman's going to sue.
Yeah.
But it's WB. Do you own that? I don't know. Because Green Arrow became the Batman. But anyway, all that to say, his first line, like I'd forgotten this, right? I'm just sitting here taking my notes, and they're like, Adam, know your limits. And he's like, I know my limits. And I thought to myself, Batman has no limits.
Yeah. I feel stupid. I didn't rewatch this thinking of him as Batman, but now I want to go back and try to see if I can see it again.
Oh no, it's totally part
of it. For the rest of season, I think he might be in one of the other episodes you're gonna be on it this season, Matt. So cool. Keep that in mind.
Yeah. The references to him being Batman only like intensify as his appearances increase.
Fair enough.
So we're going to have lots of fun talking about, and by the way, Ian Somerhalder, he going on to, you know, Lost and Vampire Diaries, and this is Smallville, the farm system for other TV shows and actors continues here.
Don't know what you guys think of Vampire Diaries, but I think he's a really good, like, strong actor, too.
I've never seen Vampire Diaries.
Never watched Vampire Diaries.
Oh, if you can get through 10 seasons of Smallville, you can get through 2 seasons of Vampire Diaries at some point. But
well, see, I'm more of a sci-fi guy than like a fantasy horror guy, so...
I get you.
Hey,
you know.
Nina Dobrev is in it.
Oh, well then, where can I find these episodes? Yeah, I draw the line at Beauty and the Beast with Christy Crick.
Right, yeah, didn't watch that.
I noted about like his first scene here with Lana. It's very reminiscent of the Oliver character in The O.C. season 1. For any of the people who are listening to this who've seen that, it's very similar. Like he's like being an ass to somebody in therapy, like a girl in therapy, and then like of course she like ends up like kind of liking him. Similar thing.
Is that guy dying of weird, crazy Luther disease too?
Yeah. See, I want at the end here. I want to talk about like does this fit? Does this episode fit into like what we know of Adam? Because I feel like some of it doesn't. Yeah.
And back to your Chekhov's video camera too. Uh-huh. About that as well.
So he's being a jerk to her here, and I guess it's the elementary school logic of oh, he's being mean to me, so he must like me, right? Yeah. I just like, but whatever. So we cut back to Bel Rev, Reeve, whatever, and Lionel comes to visit Lex, and Lex is he's in like a full body cage now, like Hannibal Lecter style, right?
Poor guy.
Well, because you know, he tried to escape, so it makes sense. So Lionel's talking to him, and Lex is kind of telling him what he wants to hear. He's like, oh, but I'm better now. Like, I'm like, are you intentionally trying to, like, look like you're lying? Because I'm not buying it. But this
Well, Lionel is lying his ass off, too.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it's sodden. Yeah. It's for your best interest.
And not trying very hard. Lionel's lies felt a little phoned in. Like, he knew Lex was on drugs and not eating much. So, you know.
He's like, I can go 80% with Lex today.
Exactly, yeah.
But, you know, they just go back and forth, and Lionel BS. He's like, oh, well, your attempt to escape ruined me getting you out of here. Like, I was going to do. I'm like, you're so full of crap, Lionel. Yeah. Don't even feed me that.
Sabotage my efforts to have you released.
Exactly. So so they go back and forth, and then, you know, he's like, well, son, I'm only worried about you. He's like, only worried about yourself and staying out of prison. And then he's just, That's when he starts yelling again. He's yelling nothing. Like, he's just yelling.
Yeah, I thought he originally yelled guard, but no, he's just yelling.
I get it, though. It's cool to see him break that much, to go for, even just as stupid as that is, to go from yelling at Clark of, like, I'll never forgive you, or whatever he was saying, to just, I'm out of words, I just have to. Yeah.
I don't know, if I were in a full body cage like that, I don't know what my reaction would be, so. Like Ian says later, like, what would you do when you need a scratch?
Yeah.
That's so strange.
So speaking of Ian, though, him and Eric go to see Ku Klux Van. Well, it was a Ku Klux Van. Again, a very relaxed prison environment here. Inmates just walking around, hanging out in the other one's rooms. He's got, like, a big room.
He has posters on there.
He's got, like, chicks, like centerfolds. And centerfolds. He does have a picture of his dad, though, which I thought was a nice bit of continuity because he was obsessed with his dad, the same picture he had in his locker and stuff. And then just random stuff like, you know, skulls. And, yeah. Because he's a hunter, you know.
All those cool things you get in the mental hospital.
Yep.
And then we have the classic supervillain team up as made famous by Spider-Man 3, Venom and Sandman. I would have killed the spider. You want to kill the spider. I've watched that movie like 3 times in my whole life. Why do I remember that stupid scene? Because Sandman doesn't want to kill Spider-Man. Anyway, that's for another.
The enemy of my enemy.
So supervillain.
My friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy to remember first drafts, you know?
But yeah, so basically Ian, as you said earlier, Matt, he's kind of the ringleader here. He's devised this whole thing where, okay, look, Eric can leech his powers, but they know Van knows his weakness. Like, I like how, like, everybody knows just a little bit, like, through the grapevine.
Word on the ward is you know Clark Kent's weakness.
But Eric, he doesn't really understand how his powers work, does he?
No.
Because he's like, if you can weaken him, I can leech his powers. Like, do you think your power is to get people's powers? Is that what you think? Do you think you parasite? Is that what you are? Because no, it doesn't work that way. Like, the kryptonite is what allows you to even get the power transfer. Yep. But I mean, he doesn't have all the facts. I don't blame him. I actually like that, because what would you think if that happened to you?
It's true.
Like, oh, well, he was weakened by this. That's how I got his powers. Then he used electricity as the catalyst. So he thinks the electricity is the key. So I found that like a nice touch that he didn't quite understand how he got his powers last time.
Well, it kind of plays into all three of them. Just kind of, again, like you said, only knowing a piece of the information.
I like that, too. They didn't let the plan didn't become for somebody else like Jonathan Taylor Thomas to steal his power. It was always going to be Eric, because, again, we're not sure if it's going to work for other people. Like, I did it once, so let me just do it.
Yeah. So then we cut back to Luther Corp, and Lionel is pressuring Dr. Foster to go forward with the procedure. And we start to see that she's not maybe an all out, whatever the term is, bad guy. Because she's like, I don't know, this is unconscionable to do this on. I'm like, well, you've been drugging this guy for months, you know? Now you get a conscience? Like, where do you draw the line for your morality, you know? I mean, this is just a scene just showing you how evil Lionel really is. He's like, well, that's right, do the procedure, because he's blackmailing her.
Yes,
he's like, you've done it before, right. You know? So we see why she's compromised, and that's classic, you know, Lionel and Lex Luthor in the comics, too. Like, you find somebody's weakness, you exploit it to your own ends, so.
Is this the first time we've heard about that weakness, too? Because, you know, she has been on throughout the season. Is this the first time we figured out, like, oh, she's actually compromised and in his pocket?
Yeah, I guess it was the last scene of Shattered.
I think it was.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's like, oh, okay.
Oh, right.
Because it was like, you're like, well, I mean, Lex is going crazy, and he's gone crazy before, so that's the genius of this plan, though. Like, there is a precedent for it. But, anyway, so we're gonna go. We don't know what the procedure is yet, but we find out in the next scene, because Clark, he's burning the midnight oil at the Talon, because apparently he doesn't have the internet at his home.
No, the cats can't afford it.
I don't know. Remember that episode where him and Pete like hooked up the laptop and it was Rosetta.
In the pilot, he's looking at.
That's right. The pilot. He's like the fastest man alive. Remember we had family computers with the giant CRT monitors. Man, I'm so glad I lived past the 21st century. So yeah, again, what time is it? Let's play that game, because it's like it looks like it's like the middle of the night.
It does.
Right? And then Chloe
she
comes
even
in,
says midnight
like,
oil.
I know. Ugh.
Right.
The cliche, like the book of Smallville cliches that they use.
Yep.
It's not exactly a smoking gun, but why are you burning the midnight oil? You're not yourself.
Are you faster than that speeding bullet?
What, are you made of steel?
I do like, though, that she comes in and does like the, oh, God, turn the light on. You know, this will hurt your eyes. I like those just little Superman moments.
But
of, like,
is that a Superman moment?
He doesn't care. Huh?
Is that a Superman moment?
Oh, it just felt to me like he doesn't, like, eyes and vision in the dark is not a problem.
Yeah, I got it.
Him,
I got it.
Know?
But like, it was subtle, and it wasn't like a sledgehammer to my head, so I didn't recognize it, because that's usually the way Smallville communicates these things. So I was like, oh, that was a sly reference to supervision, but that's true.
I'm used to watching Lois and Clark, too, so we usually have to sift through for as much Superman content as we can get, so that's where I'm coming from.
He looked at something across the room. Only Superman can do that.
Right. It must have been Doomsday.
So Clark is, you know, he's doing research, and he's like, well, Lex is definitely being drugged. And they're like, yeah, these are prescription drugs, Clark. Mm-hmm. There's nothing suspicious about that. But Clark continues to Google away, and in his Google search, he finds that Lex is next up to have electroshock treatment, which is what search engine is he using?
Right. Was there no hacking involved in this?
Didn't seem like it. He must have binged it.
Yeah, I was gonna say Bing. I guess that's what I've been missing out, using Google Chrome, not Bing.
Yeah. Well, did Jeeves have answers then?
That's Jeeves.
he didn't know everything then, I guess.
Oh my gosh. Well, I guess I give them credit for not giving Chloe another, you know, I have a new category now, Chloe's Unseen Connections. Like, I kind of assume that's how they would find out, right?
Yeah.
But that's not, they just find out on the internet. That because Lex Luthor's medical procedure schedule is common knowledge, a matter of public record, I guess.
We must not have had enough story time to have Chloe, you know, get in touch with her contact at Matt Reeves to learn.
Because this is just a pit stop, right? Because she's going to pick up Lana from therapy. So it's like, whoa.
Dun, dun, dun.
When does Lana get off therapy? Is this the same therapy we saw earlier?
Like, who knows?
I'm just
confused. But she was like, apparently there like for like a month. So like, was she not going to school?
Well, it was winter break.
Good point.
Winter break?
Yeah. because
that still means that she missed at least 2 weeks of school.
No, because in college, you get a month off. And as we've established, Smallville, like, they're not really sure how school works. Like, they kind of remember back to college, but not quite far enough to high school.
They only have to go in 22 days a year, so it's very much like a TV show. Yeah. They're in mid-season break right now.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they shut the school down for Lana. You know, they're like, oh, well.
It's true.
I'm just like, you take your time.
We can't have a school without other girls here. There are other girls. We don't see them. Stop it.
I do like what Clark, it's established that Clark hasn't seen her because, you know, that's what she wanted, you know. And he's like, I sent her a card. It's like, I love that. Like, that's so, like, that's what you say when you're like, you know, that's not enough. But you're like, hey, like, I think about this. You'll know what I'm about to say. It's in The Dark Knight. Matt, you might appreciate this.
Okay. Where
Rachel is getting mad at Alfred because Bruce is, or Harvey's like out the, Harvey's like saying he's Batman on TV.
Right.
And Rachel's like, how could Bruce let him do this? And Alfred's like, well, he went down to the press conference.
Yeah.
That's just something we've always laughed about. Like, it's like, I'm like, hey, well, I mean, what else would you want from him? He went down to the press conference.
He was there.
He was there. Oh. I mean, Batman on the brain this episode for sure.
Bats on the brain. What kind of a man has bats on the brain?
For a movie that's not good, I have seen a quote Batman Forever way, way, way too much. Yep,
but don't say it. That movie is beautiful.
Caffeine will kill ya.
I do that one a lot.
Oh, it's so see,
I always do Two-Face quotes. He's just amazing.
Start this party with a man. Happy day. See if you bleed green.
God. Quotable movie. It's a quotable movie. We'll give it that. So they go to find, well, they're like, oh no, we got to go stop this electro shop treatment. Because electro shop treatment is it's crazy stuff, people. Like, I was shocked. I just saw 60 Minutes the other day. They still do this. Like, I thought this was like an archaic, scary. Like, turn of the century. We don't understand how the brain works, so we're just going to flood you with, you know, electricity. Yeah. But now it's like more precise and all that. But I don't know, man. I would never do that.
Nope.
Like, that's playing with things you don't understand.
It's more precise, but it's still, like, the human brain, we don't know what the hell. It's still just throwing a lot of electricity at a brain and going, hey, maybe this will work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a last resort, scary. I guess, but anyway. It's unconscionable to do this on a patient. It does not require the procedure.
Indeed.
To paraphrase Dr. Foster. So, we go back to Belle Reve, Rev, whatever, and Van is, he's working out! You know, he's working out at the gym, and he gets his box from his contact. His
guard, yeah.
Pays off the guard. Slips him a something.
Some cash.
And he's like, I better float your boat, man. Because he's like, you paid me off for this rock and a box.
Yep.
This is the 80s. Is your pet rock? What is this crap? You know, it's interesting because, you know, Van, it's something he would do, right? He's like Rambo, Vanbo, whatever. I think we call
Rambo.
Him in the extension episode. You know, he's working out, and then John Taylor Thomas comes out. And he splits into two. And they're like, oh, did you get it? And they're like, yeah, this is the weakness. And he's like, well, let's not pretend we're friends. And they're doing this maneuvering around each other. But they're like, hey, you need a spot? And then the Van turns, and there's a second Jonathan Taylor Thomas, and they kill him.
Yeah.
They crush his throat with the barbell. I'm like, whoa, that's pretty hard. Because you hear that.
Yep,
I'm like,
do.
Whoa. I mean, he killed some people, but did he deserve that?
No.
Yeah.
Well, we have a disagreement.
Sorry.
It's a Superman show.
Yeah, well, Superman fair didn't enough. Snap his neck, okay?
These oh, guys. Superman shouldn't kill him, but I morally, I'm fine with him dying. Oh. He was shooting kids in school. Like, yeah.
Yes, that's true. Those people do deserve to die.
That's true.
Yeah.
So he's gone. So we have a plus one for a Smallville high school student death, because much like Tina Greer, she would have been in high school. So I counted her death. I'm going to count Van's here as well.
Okay.
So that's a plus one.
Okay. Wait, Tina Greer was the last student death before Van?
Well, no, I mean, I don't know, but she wasn't in school when she died, but I counted it because like she would have been
example.
Had she not gone
Excuse
crazy.
Me.
You know, so.
Got you. Oh, wait, he killed a bunch of students.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so never mind, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's dead, and John Tara Thomas is, he's got his guy to kryptonite, so on to phase two of the plan. And this is, you know, whenever villains work together, they ultimately do each other in, you know, as we, you know, find out at the end of this episode. So then Chloe and Clark go to the hospital to talk to Dr. Foster.
Did they skip school to do this?
I don't, again, what time, what day is this? Is it Saturday?
And ambushed her at another patient's...
In a room!
Yeah!
In a room!
It's like, who let these kids in here?
Right.
Who are your parents?
Like, there's literally a guy, and he just had the same, like, he had the procedure, and he's like a vegetable now. Yeah. That's what they're afraid was going to happen to Lex.
But how did they find her? Did they just Google? And it's just like,
they just Google where she is.
It's
very specific hospital. And I would not have minded the Chloe's unseen connection here. That would have helped.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
So...
Or even, we didn't even need the unseen connection. She could have, like, gone and bribed Jonathan Taylor Thomas, and he would have told her everything.
That's right. Well, see, it made more sense for him to know.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I know everything goes on in here, because he's weaseled his way into being the guy that pushes the books and the magazines around.
Right.
By the way, this is a very lame attempt for them to, like, come on, do the right thing. And she's like, Like, it just felt very underwritten to me this season.
Yeah.
Fair.
But speaking of... Ian, he rolls his little book card over to Lex's, which is a waste of time considering Lex is in a freaking cage.
Yeah.
And he tries to get him in on the plan because he needs money, you know, once he escapes. And that all makes sense. His motivations there make sense. But the most important thing in the scene is a little DC Comics Easter egg, right, Matt?
Yeah. It's almost too big to be an Easter egg. But
yeah.
Yes, Themyscira Queen addresses United Nations. Mm-hmm. That's pretty huge.
So for those of you don't know, that's Hippolyta?
Hippolyta.
Is that how we say it?
Yeah.
That's Wonder Woman's mom.
Yep.
But it's such a weird thing. I love when they do this in the show, especially, you know, back to the pilot and all that with the queens.
Queen headlines are the key.
Yeah, that's always cool. But it's so strange when it's Themyscira. It's this, like, you know, we have to acknowledge that Themyscira
exists.
Is
this
secret island of ageless women that have been around for thousands and thousands of years, and she's now addressing the UN. Like, it's just like those little moments. I know we don't have time. I really appreciate them doing the Easter egg, but there's also that part of my brain where it's just like, that would, they'd talk about that.
That has like, larger that implications.
Yeah, that would be an incredible worldwide event.
Yeah.
Well, even back then, you know, Wonder Woman. This is when the Joss Whedon Wonder Woman movie was in development, which...
yes, it is.
Which I love the Wonder Woman we got, so I wouldn't change anything. But it still would have been cool to see it in World War II, you know, before Marvel got to it first with Captain America, and they had to change it to World War I when they got around to it. And Monica Baumbach was going to be... You know, Leslie Tompkins from Gotham. Was going to be Deadpool's girlfriend, Vanessa.
Yep. Deadpool's girlfriend.
It's all connected.
It's going to be her or... Or Eliza Dushku was in the running, too.
Not really? Okay.
She was.
Well, I believe so. Pretty much every brunette Buffy actress
exactly.
named.
Sure, Michelle Geller was, I'm sure, going to dye her hair and try it out.
No, she was tired by then.
But, you know, there was talk, and again, this is like all from Krypton's side, right? But I believe there was talk for like a TV show called Amazon. Yeah. There's going to be Wonder Woman back in the day. It's like...
Totally.
What are we going to have next? A show about Superman's grandpa? That would be stupid.
Gross.
Krypton is amazing. Krypton is the best DC show of all time. You don't like it, Matt?
Really?
Look at him.
No, I've only... That was a real reaction. I only saw the pilot. I wasn't crazy about it. You guys did the pilot.
We weren't crazy about it either. Yeah. But I swear to God, so it's the best DC comic show of all time. You must watch it.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't watched it since, but he's raving about it.
And I need to talk about that. We're going to... Oh, wow. The season finale hits the night of this episode. So it's amazing.
Damn, I think you just decided my weekend.
You need to watch them all. Stay off Twitter. It will be spoiled. Okay. I'll just tell you this. Zod, Brainiac, Doomsday. All right?
Mm-hmm. I was just excited for Brainiac. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. So, and Adam Strange is doing his thing. I mean, he's give or take. But it's for real. Like every week, I'm like, this is the best episode yet. And it keeps getting better and better, and I recommend it. So...
That's awesome to hear. I totally jump ship, but I'll get on board.
That's
for
right.
That.
There you go. It's only 10 episodes too, so
yeah,
that helps.
Okay. Yeah,
so cool. So another show about a superhero before you superhero Smallville.
Did you see how awkward Jonathan Taylor Thomas is though on Lex's cage? Like he sits next to him and he's trying to like lean over it, to show him the stuff, but he's doing it like so slowly and labor. It was just it felt to me like an actor who hadn't done it.
Yeah.
Before, and when they finally did it, he was just like, there's so many wires.
Like, oh, I didn't know this was going to be, this wasn't here in the walkthrough.
Right, exactly. That's what it felt like to me. It was funny.
Well, I guess I'll just, I'll use the environment. That's, anyway. So he rolls out of there. We never hear about Themyscira ever again in Smallville because they got that Wonder Woman movie working.
Uh-huh.
Same reason that he was the Flash in Run, and they're like, oh no, we got Ryan Reynolds and David Gordon are going to do that Flash movie. He's got to be in Pulse now. It's like, sure, thanks. Yeah.
Whatever. So is the only other thing we get of Wonder Woman is
that terrible Chloe
woman
line.
With wonderful whatever.
Yeah.
Wondrous woman will
woman.
Throw you
a wondrous
for a loop
woman, excuse me.
In a billionaire,
with toys.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Gosh. Terrible. I hate that. I know a lot of people are like, it's Batman and Wonder Woman. I hate that line. I hate it.
Nah. Too little too late on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on his way out, Ian reveals to Lex, like, hey, they're going to fry your brain tomorrow. Because he's like, I know everything in this place. He pulls out the chart,
right?
He's like,
that's
you're
going
to get
a
shop there. Now, it makes sense for him to have that information.
Yeah.
He works in the hospital. You know, he has his ways weaseling around. He didn't just Google it from the Torch office. So,
no.
So now
he
Lex
has
is
this
like,
information that he could have given to Chloe.
No, that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so now Lex knows that he's going to get electroshock therapy. But he, you know, he's keeping his, you know, strong front. Puts up a strong front about it.
For sure.
So let me go. We keep cutting back to the Lana and Batman subplot for some reason, and
he does apologize.
He does apologize,
And Lana has a nice little line. She's like, "Nice people normally have the most issues."
Yeah, I like that. I like that. He's like, "I used to be a nice guy." She's like, "Nice guy should have the most issues." I'm like, "Gosh, somebody's been burned by a nice guy," time and time again on this show. But then he explains what she, well they you know they kind of are chilling to each other now or cooling to each other. And she asked him, like, hey, I never found out how you got in here. He's like, oh, it was a burning building. My parents died. I tried to run in after him, but a beam collapsed on me. And I thought to myself, what is the point of all those bloody push-ups?
Push-ups. If you can't lift up a bloody log. Yep. I thought that too. That's in my notes as well. Oh,
see, Matt, you see how much fun you have if you've watched this thinking he's Batman?
I know. I missed out, guys. Oh, it's so weird. But I do kind of like, or I like to think Lana has a little reaction when she hears, I'm an orphan. Because, like, there must be some connection there that she feels with orphans.
Like, she's going to give him more of the time of day now.
The friends of them. Yeah.
Oh, and it was established, like, he comes in early or something. He's like, oh, I noticed you changed your therapy time, like, to avoid him.
Like that, too.
Yeah, that was a good moment, so. Then we cut to Smallville High School, and Clark's telling Pete that that he convinced Dr. Foster not to go through the procedure. I'm like, I hope there was more to it than the scene we saw.
Yeah.
Because that was pretty weak.
It was. I'm just glad that there was a Pete scene, that, like, they're acknowledging that Pete, like, still goes to Smallville High. He's still Clark's best friend. You know, he still exists.
Well, this was a good scene for him, because he's like,
this was a good scene. Thank,
like,
God.
Do you know how much stress it is to not, like, call it Kryptonite and to call it Meteor Rock? Like, that's a great point. Like, if I was, if I were them, I would slip, hey, Meteor Rock. Like, that's an easy, and covering for his, you know, Clark's disappearance. Like, that's a great point that Pete makes. He's like, I got your back. Lex,
don't.
So, and then he, just kind of wanders off after that. Like, we couldn't have kept him in the rest of the scene? Like, did he have to leave?
At least just Pete's one scene, he's making a point this time. And it is, like, it's a huge point for a Superman show. Like, it would be a terrible burden to know what he is before he's established. Like,
yeah.
That'd scare me too.
Yeah, so then Chloe comes in at the tail end of the scene. She comes like, Dr. Foster's dead. They found her car wrapped around a tree. And Pete's like, I smell Lionel Luthor. I'm out of here. And then he leaves. It's like, oh, okay. Well, we'll continue to have this conversation without you, Sam. I guess you got better things to do today. But Lorena Gale, who played Dr. Foster on the show in a few episodes, she had this to say in The Companion. Quote, I was a good guy, I think, just caught in Lionel's web. But I would like to think that the time I spent with Lex, I was actually doing my job and helping him. Of course, he won't remember it now after the electroshock therapy. So I thought that was a pretty funny way to end the quote from her. But so she's dead. And again, iconic comic character, now dead. Much like Morgan Edge.
Yep.
Much like Dr. Hamilton at the time. We didn't know they were going to come up with another Dr. Hamilton in season 8.
There were a bunch floating around.
There's always two. Like we said, there's always two. Sometimes always three. Two. It's like, what, 4 Black Canaries now?
Yeah.
Two Jimmys.
Two Jimmys.
Oh, Jimmy. So with no other options, because Dr. Foster's dead now, Clark decides, I got to go in there. I got to save Lex. So he super speeds in, rips off the cage, and start, like, undoing. I'm like, man, like, this is a great friendship moment. Lex is like, Clark, I knew you'd come, you know, save me. I'm like, oh, man, like, I want these guys to be friends. Like, these moments are really make it suck that they become enemies, right?
Yeah. However, but like Clark, you could see like some caution on his face when Lex is like, I was right all along. And so Clark's like, dang, like he's been on to me. Like, it's like, because like that could be a problem.
Well, he knew he was on to him too, right? Or no, we haven't seen. Sorry, I'm getting confused.
He hasn't gone
to
the secret room yet.
The room, yeah.
Where he's like, okay. I love that. I know that's the season finale, but Lex is like, I understand how you can think this is all about you, but it's really all about me. It's like, that is a bad, that's a bad play. You have a 36x24 illuminated picture of me and my family. How is this about you? I mean, he knows that he's kept the car and stuff, but that's a little more understandable.
Right.
Like, I mean, that's I'll allow that obsession. But like the pictures of my family, you took my family tree out of the trash at the Talon.
Mm-hmm,
you got a freaking Nicodemus flower over here. What's going on? But you're right. There was that little bit of hesitation from Clark, and you think, "Oh wow, this is Clark's gonna get him out of here. What's gonna happen?" But then Clark starts to get weak, and you see Jonathan Taylor Thomas come and beat the crap out of him with a meteor rock, or as Pete would say, kryptonite.
Did you guys notice as I think one of the Jonathan Taylor Thomases is talking to Lex and doing the like, "No, you're screwed. You know, you're gonna get fried, and you're staying here, and that's it." And in the background, one of them is kicking Kryptonited Clark.
Yeah.
But they don't have sound.
There's no sound. Yeah, I noticed that too.
So he's just like, this stunk guy is just wailing on Clark. Yeah. You can't
I didn't notice
anything.
That. You
it's
guys
amazing.
Both noticed that.
I did, yeah, because I laughed at it.
ADR fail.
I it makes sense for like the drama of the scene. You want to be quiet and like really intense on like you're gonna die.
He turns around like, "Hey, I'm trying to make a, I'm trying to say something cool here. This guy,
can you keep
it down."
It down?
He's like, "I'm trying to be dramatic."
You know, this is a great. This got me in the feels. You know, you're watching it back then and then now. He's like, "Leave him alone." You know, I'm like, "Oh man," like Lex, even though he's in a bad spot. You know, he wants these guys to leave Clark alone because they're, you know, because they're friends. And so, but they put the kryptonite down his shirt.
In his shirt, yep.
Well, we talk about it in Phoenix, Matt. But where they Morgan Edge people, they duct tape the kryptonite to him.
Yes.
So it's funny to see what the solutions these people come up with. But so they drag him off, they put him on a gurney and roll him down to the basement or whatever with the generator. And then Lex, like, he's like, "Oh, I gotta save Clark," and he starts stumbling around. Of course, the guards find him. Right, and then they're
more
like,
screaming.
Right, he's just ah! And they give him the injection in the neck, and he's put out. So
it's easy to say more screaming, and it's totally true. But like he is acting too.
Like, oh, he's doing a great job. Like I know we're kind of laughing about it, but this is great stuff.
When he's on the table later, it's creepy.
Oh yeah,
like he's
oh
really
it's unsettling. Like, you just feel his desperation. He's like, "Please, pay whatever you want." Like, oh my god, because you imagine like being in that situation, knowing what's coming. It's terrifying.
And then the intensity of that shock, like he really does play it for like just the convulsing he's doing. I know it's hard to call that acting.
That's
but it
just
is.
Him wiggling on a table. People, they did not run electricity through him. That's all Micah Rosenbaum. So,
yep. It's impressive.
But then, you know, we have this great, the tension is building, right? Lex is being carted off to the electroshock therapy. Clark's being carted off to get his power stolen. Hey, what a great time to cut back to Lana, having physical therapy.
How is there more Lana stuff in this episode?
And this is and Martha comes in and is a complete cock block for Adam.
Oh, yeah, I know. So good. She's like, interesting physical therapist.
Yeah.
She went with the intention, though. Like, she wanted the Lana Lang to Lana Lang moment.
Yes, I love it when we get Lana moments. Obviously, Ned O'Toole playing Lana in Superman 3. But this is like, because there was like, Adam had been like pushing her and they'd be kind of making a connection and like,
oh, yeah.
They were kind of getting a little close. They're invading each other's personal space, right? And that's when Martha comes in and Adam's like, "Oh, excuse me. Time to go. Is this your mom? Yep. Who is this?" But Chloe had a deadline. Whatever. And then Martha had to come pick her up.
Got you.
Which is interesting because, like, they barely dated. They haven't been friends that long, but they're at this point where, like, Clark's mom is, like, going to go pick her up from someplace. Like, it's like that, she couldn't pick her up at like school. Like she's not like a contact. Like she's not like a security person.
So she's a minor.
Like, you
well,
know,
who's gonna do research?
Mel?
Well, Adam is staying at the hospital, isn't he?
Yeah.
So why isn't Lana at the hospital?
I don't know.
Huh. Oh wait, yeah. Didn't we kind of say that she was at the hospital?
She was. She was like, they said that she's been there for like a month.
Yeah, but back and forth. This is what we're talking about. No internal inconsistency.
Do they throw that party for her every weekend?
Hey, she's back. Oh my god, that is a brilliant point, guys. I didn't think about this. If she's getting picked up and taken home.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Martha Kent is helping her discharge from the hospital. This is what happens when you don't have parents and your aunt moves away. This is horrible.
What about where's Henry Small? Where's Henry Small? Where's her biological father? Oh my gosh! I don't think that guy is not even mentioned again in the show. I'll be shocked if I see a Henry Small mention. So, anyway, they're Martha and Lana. Martha keeps shipping Lana.
Yep.
And Lana's like, "Well, I wanted him to stay away, and it's for the best. And I just wanted to be happy." And it was actually this scene where I noticed, like, why are they dressing Lana like a kindergartner all the time? Like, she's in pink and she's got like pigtails, right?
Yep. First 3 years of the show, at least, they always did that. She was always in pastels, which just didn't match for her after a while.
And then she takes a hard right and it's all black leather.
Yeah.
Let me show off this back tattoo I have now.
Right.
Anyway, we cut back to Belle Reve, Rev, whatever. And Lex is strapped to the table. And this is what you were talking about, Matt, where he's strapped to the table and it's this desperation coming off of him. And Lionel's like, "He doesn't want your money, son. He wants to make you better." I'm like, "Oh, you're so evil, Lionel."
Yep.
And there's a nice fade here between Clark and Lex. Like, Lex is, like, on the table about to get electrocuted. And then we do a fade to Clark in the basement about to be electrocuted, too. So it's like, oh, they're...
There's a nice little dichotomy there.
Yeah. That's what they do on the show, man. It's about Clark and Lex up until season 8, and then it's about, whatever. It gives you hope for a second, though, that Lex is not going to be electrocuted because, they do Eric hooks up his jumper cables.
Yeah.
To the gurney that Clark's on, and they, you know, flip the switch, and the power goes out, right? And then Eric and Clark transfer powers. By the way, we have a plus one for Clark, loses his powers, because he does. And you're like, oh, this is great. The hospital's not going to work now. Lex is going to not get shocked.
Yeah, but it creates that weird situation now. So, like, the power being out and Clark losing his powers, Lex is saved. Clark gets his powers back. Lex is not.
It's cool, though, how they do that. Like, I liked that Clark dealt with the power thing that quickly. Like, he just knew
what to do,
how to deal with it.
I've been doing this before.
Yeah,
he just kind of knew the ingredients of it. It was cool. But then, when they cut back to Lex after the power switch and he gets shocked again, that's my favorite part in this episode.
I remember when I saw that in 2004, whatever, I was like, no! Like, no! I was so caught up in it. You know? 16-year-old me just sitting there, oh, no! Because it was like, oh, man, because you thought there's a glimmer of hope that he might get out of it. Of course, if you, like, remove yourself from, like, the moment, you're like, oh, well, of course they're going to erase his memory, right? Because Lex Luthor can't know, you know? Apparently they still felt that way in the finale for some reason. But anyway. But then again, we have the villains turning on each other, right? Eric has the powers back, and he's pissed at Clark, you know, for, well, taking the powers. But they were Clark's to begin with. But you get why Eric is mad, because Clark took the powers away from him. And so he's like, you know, he's got like the whole Khan thing. Like he's like bent on revenge. And he's like, Ian's like, hey, man, I thought we're getting out of here. He's like, there's no friends in here. And he throws him across the way. By the way, when Clark gets thrown across the way by Eric, totally would have killed him. He crushes some Transformer. Yeah. I'm like, your back is broken.
Yeah,
you know?
He should be dead.
You're going to need to go to Nandapar Bat in a hole with some crazy guy in a rope to get that fixed. So
we call it a pit, thank you.
Oh, a pit.
Hey, Adam.
I didn't escape.
He just needs to do some PT with Adam.
Yeah, but do physical therapy with Batman.
Yeah, Batman will get him back.
God's sake. We don't see Ian anymore. I guess he's not dead, but I don't know. Which, by the way, in a deleted scene for Dichotic, they were supposed to die.
Yeah.
But that scene was deleted. So we got this wonderful John Cena flashback. And again, as much crap as I gave that episode, I think he did a really good job here being the bad guy.
I did too.
Van was fine. You know, he didn't last as long, obviously. Sean Ashmore, fine as well. I mean, he didn't have as much to do, but Ian being the ringleader, I think he had the most screen time, the most material, and he made the most of it. As you said, Matt, Clark knows what he's doing this time. It's not that much of a battle at the end, is it?
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice that he remembered too.
Because again, Eric not understanding like what all the power stuff. Clark's like, "Is that all you got?" And he comes over to him and he like holds the kryptonite up to him, tackles him into, I guess, another Transformer or something. Yeah, sure.
Let's go with it.
And the power
electricity
comes back
box,
on. Yeah, and then shocks Lex again. But this is cool, though, because it didn't go according to plan. So you think, one, that really warped Lex's mind. Is this why he's, like, evil in the future? You know, maybe.
Yeah.
Two, you don't know how well it worked or didn't work. So maybe he remembers some stuff, maybe he doesn't. So there's a lot of ambiguity because of all this going on. I thought that was a pretty smart thing to do. Instead of somebody flipping a switch saying, yes, he lost his memories, Mr. Luthor, and that being it.
Well, Lionel also, like, super evil. He's like, again.
Yeah. The doctor's like, I don't know, sir. It's like, again. Like, damn. But then, you know, Clark deals with his business downstairs and, you know, super speeds up, but he's too late.
It's too late.
You know, it's too late. Well, he conveniently hears Lionel say, it's over now, son. Mm-hmm. so he knows it's... Like, what would he have done? Like, broken in there and...
I don't
know. Super speed in and out without being seen,
Superman
I guess?
Not thinking, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he rarely does. That's okay.
But anyway, that's that. And great time to cut back the line at Adam in the hospital, am I right?
100%.
So this
How
is the plus
there
one.
More?
This is another plus one for the hospital because we're in a different, we're like in a hospital room now. We're Adam is.
Right.
Room.
He's getting dialysis.
Yeah, he's like,
point, right?
Oh, yeah, I get a little dehydrated sometimes. Now, that is something that might tie into being.
Right.
We can talk about that here.
I don't remember specifically, but I feel like it does.
So, well, let's just say he's wearing a number 27 t-shirt because, of course, as we know, Batman premiered in Detective Comics 27, and this is Batman, as we know. And they just kind of talk, and she has a cane now. He helped her get over her physical therapy.
She brings him some food. He says that he likes her.
Yeah, I'm like, I like you. I'm like, what? This is like elementary school. Like, kind of like you, you know?
Which, first of all, bro, that's bold. Like,
hey, if you look really like Ian Somerhalder, you can do what you want, all right?
apparently.
And she's like, well, I'm not really looking to get in a relationship right now. It's like, we've all been there. But
I have like a school at home that's obsessed with me, so I have to go home and deal with
that.
Like,
I really don't need more attention.
Yeah.
But they're like, okay, well, let's be friends. And they shake hands. And again with the left-handed. Like, yeah. I thought they were going to, like, shake hands and be friends, but he, like, holds out his left hand, and they kind of, like, hold hands for a second.
He had the lead in his right arm, though. He wouldn't have been able to do it. Lefty for the win. You're welcome.
The lefties got to look out for themselves here, right? So, you gotta ask yourself, like, why is this guy in the show? Why does this character exist? Why is he here? And, of course, it's to give, like, Clark another rival, because they hadn't really figured out, like, okay, Whitney was season one. Season two, we kind of, you know, Clark, Lana was like, were they, weren't they? We continue that in season three. We need to mix it up some. Let's bring in Batman, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And season four, of course, is Jason Teague.
Inappropriate.
That's right. It's very inappropriate. And and then season five and onward is Lex. So that's great, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking at that question you said differently, do you know, was there an intention to make him Batman? Like, there must have been... These Easter eggs are not on, like, by accident. Right.
It's like, and we'll have to corner Craig and get the answer on that. But
it
feels like
they were trying to do it and then just make it easy for WB to say okay.
Yeah. Like they're like, let's,
you know,
this guy looks kind of like he could be young Bruce Wayne.
Right.
Let's drop some stuff in.
And like, I'm sure they weren't bringing it up, but they wanted to eventually go to them and be like, look at all these things we've done.
Right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if he was in?
And there was a point they could have, I mean, they eventually hit the abort button, you know, at some point.
Right.
But it was a hard eject.
Yeah. It was like hard left. So, I mean, I also heard, and Craig and I have talked about this before, like rumors that maybe he was going to be a young Lionel clone, maybe.
Oh.
But that was really...
tied to the little girlfriend?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Interesting.
Because they had all these, you know, experiments going on.
Yeah, this is getting X-Files level.
All right.
Yeah.
But ultimately, as we find out later on in the season, spoilers, he's a guy that had a rare liver disease that Lionel was testing, resurrecting, and his test was the most successful, and he needed treatments, and his job was to get close to Lionel, close to Lotta Leg, and find out everything she knew about Clark Kent. And he failed at that mission.
Yep.
Lana didn't know anything about Clark Kent.
Yep.
Things I didn't
the
remember.
Wrong friend,
thank
Lyle. But yeah, I don't think anything in this episode... obviously, he's lying about the whole parrots and fire and all that.
Yeah.
Or maybe... You know what?
Right. Well...
Huh. Maybe his parents did die in a fire. No?
You'll have
definitely
to say something about
this.
Yeah, at the end of his arc, you'll have to kind of put this into perspective for some people.
Right now, I don't see any glaring inconsistencies because you already kind of guessed he's being shady about other stuff.
Right.
So I'm not going to like hold it against the show. But a classic Smallville, like, hey, we're building towards this. Nope. Wrong. So, but it was just, it's interesting to see Ian Somerhalder at Smallville for half a season. It's just like, it was really random. But it's fun. We're having a lot of fun talking about Batman. So.
It's just as random, though, like, now looking back at it as being, like, Jason Teague was in there, and now he's supernatural forever.
13 years, Johnny.
Yeah.
I love
that
on Twitter, people
are
like, whoa, Sam Duquette was in Smallville? Or
right.
Is he Sam or is he the other one?
Winchester.
Winchester. Diddy Duquette. That is.
Diddy Duquette is Grey's Anatomy.
Diddy Duquette is who, what's his name?
Is Bruce Wayne's dad.
Oh.
The comedian.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yes.
Played a character called Diddy Duquette on
Grey's
Anatomy.
Okay.
And last night I started watching Grey's Anatomy after they had a Super Bowl special. After the Super Bowl, it worked
the
out.
05 Super Bowl.
We're roommates at the time.
Was that the train?
Like, oh, let's keep watching.
Was that the train accident?
No.
It was the bomb episode.
It was the bomb where the coach from Friday Night Lights got blown up.
And Christina Ricci was in it?
Yeah.
I saw that episode, Pink Mist.
Maybe. I don't know the title, but.
I remember them talking about Pink Mist and like learning that that's what it was. They would say like, you know, when a bomb goes off inside someone,
the code
Pink Mist.
Black.
Code black.
Yeah. Is that what?
So anyway, so we started watching it and Diddy Duquette was, you know, this is like Jeffrey D. Morgan's one of his first Bane Street things, I guess. He was a guy who was dying of something, but, you know, heart transfer.
Yeah.
He had a run on there. And then when he showed up on Supernatural, you know, Supernatural used to come out like after Smallville. And so we would watch Smallville. And we say, oh, Diddy Duquette, because it'd be like previously a Supernatural. Oh, boy. Fun times.
That's cool.
So Sam Winchester is it season four of Smallville? That's where we're going with that. Anyway, all that to say, we go to the Luther Mansion. Lex has another staff member in traditional Asian garb for some reason. I noticed this a couple episodes ago in Magnetic. Like,
really?
Like he's wearing like, what is the term for that? Lex is, I'm not even going to attempt because it'll sound like I'm an idiot. But
a Nehru collared type
thing? It's like he's got like buttons and collars and not it's not a tuxedo. It's like a legit, like, you know, what you'd see the chef wear at Benihana's or something, right? Okay, I mean, that's I'm sorry. That's my point of reference. But it's just, it's kind of random. You're like, okay, I guess he's, sure, whatever. But the Clark comes in to see Lex, and Lex is, he's a little off, you know? I think they play it really well because you're like, is he, does he know more than he says? Is he really just screwed up in the head? Is he like, damaged, like, you know,
it's that little too nice, little too peaceful. Just
I'm very thankful my father found the problem in time. It's like,
right,
something is up. You could tell something's up.
Yeah,
well, they want you to think something's up.
At least
the writers are like, let's leave that. Let's leave a crack in that, you know, in that door, because you know they hug and it's a nice little moment. Well, by the way, you got plus one for amnesia. You know, Alex has amnesia.
Right.
Here.
Right.
He starts, Clark starts to walk off, and Lex's like, there's one thing I'll never forget, though. And we're like, oh.
Uh-oh.
You that car like a toy. No, it's not what he says. It's just how important your friendship is to me. It's like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
But destined to fail. So Clark's pretty down about this. He goes to talk to the kids about it, and Jonathan can tell that Clark's thinking about going after Lionel. Like, I don't want you, I want you and Chloe taking up this charge, and I like what he says here. He's like, there's people out there who are more powerful than you are. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great message, you know, for young Superman to learn. Not just, it's doomsday, but like literally like, you know, corporate power, white-collar America. That's what makes the Luthers such great villains. Like, and like in Lois and Clark, season one, right? He was an untouchable businessman, you know?
Yep.
I really like that aspect of Lex, who we really haven't seen in any other interpretation. I'm still waiting on it.
Yep.
No, just that, especially in Lois and Clark, he's too big to be bad. What are you talking about? He's Lex Luthor. You know, he couldn't possibly be a villain.
Exactly.
And then, you know, Clark, he says a weird thing. He's like, I envy Lex. He looks so happy. Like, I'm like, Clark, ignorance is bliss, man. Yeah. Like, that's a weird, don't take that from that situation, right? But
he's still learning. It's okay.
But then what does Martha do? She gets on that Lana hype train again. Like, hey, Lana's having a coming back party the third time in a row. You should go. He's like, oh, okay. So.
Goes to Lana-palooza.
Yeah, the Lana-palooza. Very good. So I've mentioned this a few times in the show, but this is an instance where I can't tell, like, if they decided to do, like, if they shot both these scenes, that could be the end of the episode, and they couldn't decide which one was which.
Yeah.
And they just kind of like, that's why I want to see a script someday. Like, do we flip
party
it?
And Lana or Lionel? Even?
Right. Like, do we do the X-Files ending with Lionel, or do we do the WB ending with the song at the party? Because you could have easily cut from that to Clark going to the party. You know, we got, now that you're here, so away.
Oh, and then we would have faded out. We would have faded out in the repeating audio of, like, I know your secret.
That would have been really unsettling, cool, right?
That would have been.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Mark Snow would have put a little jazz on it. It would have been good.
But, I mean, I do. Who doesn't like State? Who doesn't like So Far Away, right? Yeah. What says 2004?
More than that, nothing.
Again, that song doesn't apply to that situation.
It doesn't.
You know, like, usually, like, it's like, wherever you will go or everything, right? Those apply.
See, I felt like it applied way too much.
Oh, really?
Like,
explain.
Here, we're so different. Yeah, we're so distant. Because now that you're here, in the same room, we're so far away.
Oh,
like, these are not snap. These are not deep
your
levels.
Your is back. You're back in
here.
My good standings, my friend.
Thank you. Happy to hear.
Earning your salt. No, it's good. That's a good point. Good, good, good. But that's the end. But before that, see, so that's the end. They went with the WB ending, right? At the party, and then Clark and Lana see each other, and they have like some nonverbal communication. We're like, okay, I'm glad you came, but go away.
Yeah, basically.
But in the cooler ending.
Yeah, I should have had a counter with how many episodes ended with Clark walking away sad.
Yeah. Sad walking away music from The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
All right. But the ending they chose not to go with was Lionel looking at the security tape. Again, Chekhov's camera comes back into play.
Here it is.
He has his henchman, his lackey. He's like, why didn't you tell me this sooner? He said, well, sir, we've been working all week. He's like, a week? And this is the best you can do. I love it. He's obsessed.
He's obsessed. And he looks crazy.
Yeah.
And that's the cool thing about it.
Yeah, Lionel looks crazy.
Yeah.
And he, you know, unbeknownst to him, erased Lex's memory who had the answers he's been looking for, right? Yep. So it's like, he didn't quite get his comeuppance, but it's like, aha, you didn't get everything you were looking for, Lionel. Because Lex telling Clark, I know your secret. Don't worry, I haven't told anyone. And you're like, mm-hmm. I know your secret. Don't worry, I haven't told anyone. He's just watching.
He's still like clicking.
Yeah. Like, it's all van. There's nothing else to it.
Yep.
But that would have been
really
cool.
Thank God the rest of that audio is bad, because he's talking about, like, he would have known.
Like the car or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what you're saying earlier about the very selective audio, right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. It was lucky that that clip didn't play out much more.
It's hard to, you know, filter out that white noise of a busy room, you know? And right. There shouldn't be audio on that camera. That's a security camera.
Yes, 100%.
Where is the microphone on that camera? I'm just saying.
Yep.
It's a cool moment, but hey.
Okay, so does it make any sense that Lionel was looking at that tape like that?
What do you mean?
Taking the whole series into context. Does it make any sense?
Oh, you're talking about season 7 and the Traveler and all that?
Yeah.
Well, I don't revisit season 7 very often. So, what did you think, Matt? You apparently have some opinions about it.
I always remembered that moment as a kid as being the coolest thing, and because of that, the comeuppance, you know?
Right.
Because of you just screwed up the one thing you want. Ha-ha. Yeah. But that was the one later on when season 7 things happened. I kept remembering back to this moment of like, wow, that doesn't make sense.
Well, even in Memoria, right, a few episodes down the road, he's like, Clark Kent, where does he come from? Like, you know, in season 3, right. Lionel doesn't know, right? Season 7 is just a huge retcon. I mean, even to the point of the frickin' Luther stained glass as a Veritas symbol. And I'm like, oh, I haven't noticed that before. Yeah, because it hasn't been there before.
Yeah, that's been there forever. Don't worry about
it. I don't know. When I look at season 7, I'm going to have to really think about that. I think that really screws up a lot, though, having Lionel have any knowledge of all this stuff. Like, I liked it better when he was just a businessman who was doing some stuff. He was kind of eccentric and had more of an open mind, stumbled into this crazy stuff and was trying to figure it out. That's how I choose to see it.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Being part of the Veritas cult is just weird.
That's clearly the cleaner solution than what they were thinking of at the time.
I mean, it could have been cool if they pulled it off, but they did not pull it off. So
no, it just didn't work out.
But no, you're right. So in that context, it is odd, and that's what I'd say. Like when they retcon that stuff, it weakens these really cool moments earlier in the show. Like we were even in season 4, where like he gets his powers, he's like, oh, of course, it all makes sense now. You know, like what do you think, Matt, if he was looking for the Traveler already? The Traveler. Right.
He's so good in that episode, though. It's all
I know, right? Oh man.
But it also like a worse retcon later on should not detract from good early stuff. So
see the Last Jedi ruining the Force Awakens. Am I right?
See the Last Jedi.
Oh, you want to know who raised Payon Sarther? No one. Who's Snoke? No, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Some dead guy.
Luke. He's just here to die. <It's> like, yeah, that's right. I didn't like the Last Jedi. Come at me, bro.
Why didn't you show me this sooner?
We've been working all week to enhance the audio, sir.
A week? And this is the best you can do?
Asylum. Got an 8.8 out of 10 on IMDb. And the Superman homepage gave it a 5 out of 5. So, you know, some high scores from our regular reference sources. Lance, I'll ask you, on the letter grade scale, what would you give Asylum?
We'd give it an A-. It's a good episode. We get a rogues gallery for Clark and that he has to take on. We have all the Lex stuff, the Lex Lionel stuff, and all the Arkham Adam Knight stuff. I remember... This is a few years ago when I was watching Smallville like at 3 o'clock in the morning
on TNT
after the NBA playoffs. And like, I remember this episode happening and I started like tagging all my tweets with hashtag Arkham Adam Knight. So I think you could probably find some of those tweets because I can't like go back that far because this is like 3 or 4 years.
Oh, there's a way. I'll have to show you. I found a way to search into Twitter history. Okay.
I have to pull up my Smallville like live tweets at 3 o'clock in the morning. But But yeah, it's a good episode. The only thing that knocks it down is all the Lana, like the Lana centric stuff.
It's Batman.
But no, he is fine. Lana was not.
So A minus.
A minus.
All right, Matt, what about you?
All right, so I was thinking the same thing, but just not to copy you, Lance, I'm going to go with the B plus. It's okay. The same, like it's a beautifully done episode. The direction is amazing. All the Lex stuff, I wouldn't change a thing. It's just the rest of it. It's just kind of meh. Mm-hmm. But all said, like I'd watch this Lex stuff any day of the week, like with this and Shattered before.
Ah!
I think it's just awesome.
Ah!
It's just an awesome little mini movie, mini arc, whatever you'd want to call it.
Yeah, I think it being the second part of Shattered helps it a lot, being part of that story, as you said. And I guess I will copy you, Matt. I'm going to go with B plus. So because it's like it's on the fence there, because right? A lot of stuff, like whenever you come back to it, you're like, oh, like we're building so much good momentum with all this stuff, and like.
Right.
Oh, I'm with my cane. And like, oh my gosh. It just feels like two different shows are going on. You know, when you cut to that. So I'm going to go with B plus. It was great to see everything you guys said. You get the Legion of Doom, Smallville style. You get the continuity there. You get the Lex and Clark friendship. You get the high stakes there. It's just very engaging. You get the great performances, of course, by Michael Rosenbaum, carrying on from Shattered, John Glover's Lionel, like so evil. Yes. This might be the evilest. I mean, he does try to kill them later in the show, like literally kill them.
Yeah.
But is it more evil to kill someone's mind and let them survive than kill them themselves? Chew on that, listeners.
This is definitely more Machiavellian. Like, this is just this is dark and twisted what he's doing.
So, but yeah, so B plus for me.
Cool.
B plus for Matt. A minus for Lance.
Lance wins.
Lance wins. Lance got the high score. So let's go down the tally board, and boy, is it a doozy. During the break. We looked up to see if Asylum was in this episode. I kind of assumed it might have been, but it wasn't. Like, I think the sign says, what did it say, Matt? Sanitarium?
Sanitarium, yes.
The very PC way of saying Asylum. Mm-hmm. So, no episode titles that episode, guys. So, that kind of surprised me, to be honest.
That's the only tally not checked.
I know, that's the only one not checked, because buckle up, guys. So, we have +3 for hospital visits. We have Bell Reeve, Rev, whatever. We have the Smallville Medical Center.
The Metropolis one?
And well, no, they're both in Smallville.
Ah.
But, well, I'm going to, you know, Lana's there for her stuff. Adam's there for his stuff. Lex is there for his stuff, right? So.
What about where they go to see Dr.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
No, but that's, no. You have to have a person in medical care. There's a character. Okay, then all the episodes in season 2 that Helen is in, you have to count it, all right? Because they're in the, or when Davis is in season 8. Oh, they're in the hospital, you know. You can't take it too literally, but I thought the same thing when I came up with this counter, but. So we have a +3 then. 37.
Excellent.
37 visits so far. We have a Clark loses his powers because Eric Stake takes him with the kryptonite. That's +1. That's 4 total so far in the series. We have a +1 for amnesia. Of course, Lex loses memory. That's 14 amnesias so far. And we have a Smallville High School student death for Van. That's 8. We have a +1. That brings us to 8 so far.
Wow.
Whew. And then the Bechdel test is a fail. Because Martha and Lana talk about Clark almost immediately.
Goes out of her way to go to the hospital.
Like 30
to talk
seconds.
About a man.
Yeah, she goes to see Lana with the split purpose of just talking about hooking
up her
up with her son.
Yep.
Well, that was a lot of fun, guys. I enjoyed it. This having three people, of course, it's kind of a different flavor than sometimes the podcasts are, but I had a lot of fun and look forward to doing it again. So, Lance, people want to find you out there on the internet, man. Where can they find you? Where can they go search your Smallville tweets from 3 in the morning?
They can search them at Sir Lance Laster. On Twitter.
So, Matt, what about you, man? Where can people find you out there?
Check out Lois and Clark, the new podcast of Superman. That's just Clark, K'D at the end of it. But we're actually just about to wrap up our season 2, which anybody that knows that show, season 2 and 3 is kind of the point where it shifts and and Lois starts to know things that are going on. It gets a little more interesting. So come check it out.
Cool. And you also do, y'all do some great DC artwork, man. Why don't you plug that?
Oh, thank you, man. Well, actually, my art Instagram feed is The Daily Knockoff. So check it out. Does do a lot of pop art very 60s Mel Ramos influenced superhero stuff. So if you're into that, come check me out.
As for me, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoreonZach. I'm also host of another podcast on the Trek FM network, Standard Orbit, where we talk about all things Star Trek, the original series. And you can find us on Twitter at TrekFM. As for the podcast, Always Hold On to Smallville. You can find us on Twitter at AlwaysMallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Hold On to Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Once again, with one S. So there you have it. We will be back next week talking about Whisper, which is probably my least favorite Getting a Power episode. What did you guys think about Whisper?
I liked it.
I don't remember it that well.
Well, there you go.
I remember that and the breath one being not great.
Sneeze.
Getting a Power Sneeze. Episodes.
Well, Sneeze. They started to run out of powers. They're like, I think I think he has breath. What?
Is that the last one he gets, breath?
Well,
the last one he gets is flight.
Stupid question.
There's just so much in Whisper, right? There's like. He goes blind for like a day. Then he has sunglasses and he has real glasses, and it's a really packed episode. So we'll be breaking that down next time. But until then, folks, always hold on to Smallville.